Well, when Portrait of a Lady came out in 1881 as a novel, it fitted into a structure of publishing which would have been very rigid, actually, very, very kind of tightly controlled by circulating libraries. They expected certain plots, certain narratives, usually around marriage, as Portrait of a Lady in many ways is, and expected a certain decorum in the approach, which was why Henry James's association with perhaps French writers became slightly problematic. He was considered by some as too effeminate in his writing, too interested in women, in the interiority of the feminine self. So he was someone then who inherited a moral, usually three-volume novel structure, which we associate with high Victorian realism. So he was reading Middlemarch by George Eliot, which came out in 1872, or Daniel Deronda by George Eliot in 1876. These were seen as the pinnacles, really, of English realism, and that's what he inherited. The Portrait of a Lady, I think, is a really interesting transitional text in many ways. It does fit into the whole process of first serial publication in journals. It was serialized in both England and America, and then it was released as a novel. Very few people would buy these novels. They would read them from libraries. But it's a book that is beginning to challenge some of the conceptions of both the decorum of content of the novel and also some of the form, I think, of that novel too. This is a book that moves from a portrait of a society, of a social setting for Isabel Archer, and yet increasingly through the novel becomes a portrait not necessarily so much of society but of her interior self, her reflections on her condition, almost but not quite a sort of stream of consciousness narrative. So we move from opening chapters where there is a narrator who is directing us and teaching us about characters, what perhaps we should think about them, making little moral judgments about them, ironizing some of the views of the characters, to later chapters where actually it is purely Isabel Archer's interior monologue, and we no longer are given direction about what we should think about her position. And that did bewilder some of the reviewers at the time, who even sometimes suggested it was faintly immoral in its movement towards an assertion, really, of an independent feminine identity, even perhaps a woman contemplating that awful idea of divorce. Not in the end divorcing, we would think, but actually someone who is prepared to consider that.